Volunteer Center in Lviv, Ukraine. We are interviewing Lviv local Yulia today about her experiences with the war in Ukraine and how that's impacted her and her community, both on a personal level and on a social and economic level. So Yulia, I'm going to turn it over to you. Tell us a little bit about yourself, who you are, and your background.
Hi Shannon, hi everyone. So my name is Yulia. I'm an IT recruiter, disability advocate, and volunteer. As for my most recent experience, I had some exposure to human rights as well through internships in Czech Republic and Belgium. And over the last month, I launched my course for girls and women with disabilities on how to run their own businesses, supported by one of the Ukrainian NGOs. And since October 2023, I was honored to join the Lviv Volunteering Kitchen, where we are dealing with when we are help. Okay, so since October 2023, I was honored to join the Lviv Volunteering Kitchen, where I'm helping to prepare dried food for Ukrainian soldiers and helping them.
That's great. So tell me a little bit more about your involvement with, helping women start their own businesses and disability advocate. How long have you been involved with those kind of projects?
Yeah, so I was working on that approximately half a year. So I started by educating myself in human rights area, just to read in some laws and understand the tools that I can use to protect my own rights and to help to other people to do so. And then I also had a thought in my mind that it would be good to utilize my experience as an IT recruiter and understanding on how some businesses operate and to give some of this expertise to others. So that's why I came up with the idea of launching my own course.
Well, thanks for hopping on today and sharing your experience of the invasion in Ukraine. Can you share your personal experience of when you first became aware of the Russian invasion in February 2022 and how it affected you?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So basically, I remember this morning really clearly. So that was, I received a first call from my mom, and it was about 6 a.m. So that was the message that we all heard that morning that the war started. And so as for the feelings and as for my thoughts, I believe that I felt some kind of frustration here because you still cannot believe what's going on. You just refuse to believe in that. And it's like you're getting emotionally numb, but you still can operate, you still can act. And basically, I had around 15 minutes to pack all my stuff, to pack my suitcase before my parents arrived to pick me up. And so, surprisingly, when traveling with this small suitcase for the next couple of months, I realized that I packed all the necessary stuff just in 15 minutes. But so just another skill that I discovered in such kind of situations, stressful situation. But so as for the frustration, it was until the time I heard the first air raid siren. Because when you hear the sounds, you do not feel frustration anymore. You just feel a wild fear, I would say so, because you do not know what to do, where to run and where to hide, where is a safe place, and you have a feeling that you will die the next second. So it was really tough. But as for the next 2 months, it was also not an easy period in my life because I was traveling a lot. So I was the only one member in my family who could still continue working as I was working remotely. But once again, during the air raids, we had to go down to the basement. There were no internet connections, so I just couldn't work properly. And it was really hard, but a common decision that was made by my parents and me. So I went to my relatives that lived in Moldova, and I decided to stay there for a couple of weeks just to continue working, to be able to continue working, and then to come back home in a couple of weeks. And the war is supposed to end, but we all know that never happens. And I did another decision. I decided to go to Poland, try to settle there down, and just take my parents there in a couple of just to take my parents there in some time. But due to a number of personal reasons, I still had to leave Poland and come back to Ukraine. So, and when being out for 2 months and then I crossed the border, I also remember that feeling when I heard another first air raid siren. I realized that, oh my God, I'm home again. And that was a feeling of relief. Yeah, that might sound ridiculous, but that feeling that you're coming back home is just priceless. And since then, I decided that I don't want to leave Ukraine anymore, no matter what. And I would like to stay here. I would like to live here because this is my country and I love it.
I don't want to say I like this because that would be taken wrong, but that's interesting, the perspective you share there of leaving to go to Poland, coming back and hearing the air raid siren and thinking, oh my gosh, I'm home, and having a priceless feeling. You know, many people from outside the country, you know, don't experience that, and hearing that is very unique and intriguing. I want to ask you about a comment you made earlier where you went to Moldova and the idea was to, you know, return home in a few weeks or so when it would be over, was the anticipation. What were your expectations and thoughts on how long this conflict would last after hearing of the invasion? You mentioned the idea was to go home in a few weeks. So how did you envision this playing out over those weeks you spent in Moldova?
Yeah, so basically that's what we were told by our government. And we truly believed that it will take this period of time, just a couple of days, then a couple of weeks. And then we realized that nothing changed. And we just need to start living somehow in this new reality, just to accept it and like gain new skills on how to survive in some kind of uncertainty that we had at the time. So that was my thoughts on that.
Great, thank you for that. So, you know, here we are just past the 2 year mark of the invasion, unfortunately. And I say past the 2 year mark, and you know, we know Russia's been spending 10 years, right, invading and occupying, you know, areas of Ukraine. So with the official invasion that did launch in 2022, however, we're 2 years past that anniversary. How has your daily life changed now from that time when you first went to Moldova and Poland and came back, you know, home, as you say? What's different now about your daily life for you and for your community?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So basically, it's been a long process of adaptation when I came back. So I had a feeling that I need to start everything from scratch. And it was like for the third time in 3 months since I was changing countries. And I understood that I had to adjust to the new reality and just to learn on how to live here. So every single person in my community has their own story. So I have a lot of friends from Eastern Ukraine and also like, especially from Kharkiv, who lost their homes, who lost their jobs and had to relocate to other cities, to other countries. And some of them even stayed in occupation. So I will not tell you what kind of consequences did the war made for them. But also, even for people who lived in the more or less safe locations, territories, so they were affected by the war as well. It might be noticed at once. It usually happens with you gradually. But once again, it's like something about It's about anxiety, like constant anxiety, wrecked nervous system, PTSD, because you still have a feeling that there are missiles that's flying somewhere over your head, and it's like a constant feeling. So you can not just you just cannot ex accept you just cannot not escape of that.
Okay.
And I feel like my perception, all my like feeling of my perceptions sharpens a lot, and I realize that I have no extra days, so I just need to live it now and to do all I can do right away.
Okay, thank you for sharing that. A little bit of a maybe wrap-up question to this topic here in particular is, how do you think, if at all, your identity as Ukrainian has evolved or changed over the past 2 years, if at all?
So I would say that I feel a significant change here. Right now, it's so important not to stay just aside of all what's going on. And I used to keep myself updated on everything what's going on a political landscape right now. And also, you probably heard about the language issue. There are a lot of Ukrainians who still speak Russian. And for me, it's like a deal breaker here. So before the war, I used to speak a bit of Russian with my friends from Eastern Ukraine and also with my relatives who live in Moldova. But right now, I completely switched to Ukrainian, so that was my decision. And some of my relatives do not speak Ukrainian, but they kind of accepted my position. They understand that. And we usually use online translator to communicate. But there were people, especially part of my family, who didn't accept that, and I just had to stop communicating with them. So for me, language is a matter of principle because I understand that this is just a core of my identity as a Ukrainian.
Thank you for sharing that. If I may, I want to kind of go down that comment you made there that I've heard from other locals I've talked to as well, as far as the language, particularly, and a few other things being a little bit of a polarizing thing for Ukrainians is, cutting out Russian altogether and speaking Ukrainian. And in your same situation, they have family members and friends who aren't as passionate about Ukraine, and they continue to speak, language, Russian language, or they view that their actions as over the top and not extremist, but certainly a little more than is necessary. So, are there any? What are your thoughts on the things that seem to make you stand out as Ukrainian from your friends who don't participate in just speaking only Ukrainian?
So this is a good question. I believe that this is, I cannot say that I stand out of them. This is their choice and I kind of accept it. But I understand that this war is not only about like physical confrontation of Russians, but also it's like our cultural fight. And it's so important to be powerful community in different kind of senses, like both like physically to confront and fight for our territories, but also to be able to stay united from our cultural perspective.
Thank you. So to kind of shift a little bit to a little more of a global perspective, how do you perceive the international response to the conflict, and what do you think could be done to support Ukraine further?
Yeah, so basically, it's been over 10 years of Russian aggression against Ukraine and 2 years of us full-scale invasion. And honestly, we all understand that it's been a long time and it becomes more and more challenging to keep the attention of international media to Ukraine. But The main problem is that nothing has changed so far. And the war is still going on, and we're still fighting for our lives and independence. So it's really crucial to continue sharing information, to raise awareness, and to not let people to forget on what's going on here. And any kind of methods will work. Any kind of methods, like either it's a demonstration or a picture of ruined house or a story of Ukrainian family who lived in occupation. So every single piece of information about Ukraine is equally important. And a friend of mine is going to organize a series of exhibitions in a couple of European countries just to demonstrate the art that was created by Ukrainian children who lived under occupation. And basically, the idea that while visiting these exhibitions, people will definitely get more understanding of these children's experience and the horrible things that they went through. And in my opinion, this is another way just to spread the awareness and just to let people know more about Ukraine.
Thank you for that. What do you believe are some of the most significant misconceptions about the situation in Ukraine that then you would like to address, whether that's media, political related, people related, economic?
Yeah, so we talked about that a little bit earlier, about especially about my relatives who live in Moldova. And I would say that all the misconceptions are taking roots from Russia propaganda, which is an exceptional powerful tool, exceptionally powerful tool. And sadly, the part of my family were heavily affected by it, as it was like my grandparents, it's like really, really close relatives. And I would say that I literally lost them. So I'm still fighting for them to hear the truth, but it's been many years since the Russia propaganda launched their campaign in Moldova. And I realized that it was happening so gradually and so accurately that for now it's really difficult to hit this wall and just to make them to hear the truth. So what I would say that it's really important just to check different kind of resources, to read information like using different kind of websites or tools and compare it, analyze it, and do not like blindly believe on what you are telling from like what you are hearing on TV, because that might lead to horrible consequences, as it was in my case.
Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear those kind of things. I think it's important to me, from what I hear from you now and other people I've talked to, is the how broad the idea, the image, and the effort of being brave as a Ukrainian is, how broad that idea is. Because a lot of times the typical image is the soldiers on the front line, right, fighting to defend Ukraine, is the go-to image of bravery, and that's not to downplay any of that and the thing our defenders are doing to secure victory for Ukraine. But people in your situation who have lost very close family members and relationships, and you've had to revamp and rethink your work life, your daily life, your friends' life, your social life, everything around air raid alerts and divisions over language and propaganda and losing people like that. So I think that's also its own broad category and spectrum of being brave as well, is having to navigate all of those challenges and have your world as you knew it 2 years ago or even 11 years ago constantly evolve on a daily basis. So thank you for being brave.
Thanks a lot.
A lot of people need to realize that part of it as well. How do you envision the future of Ukraine from everything you live through daily with it and read and stay up to date on? And what role do you see yourself playing in helping to shape that future?
Yeah, so I'm still convinced that Ukraine will have a bright future. I truly believe that after every crisis and after every single war, the heyday should come. But at the same time, I realized that it will take years, like years and years, to rebuild Ukraine. And we still need to be prepared for the devastating consequences caused by the war. One of the most heartbreaking things for me is to see how many people are dying and how many soldiers that are fighting for Ukraine are getting serious injuries and they are like losing their limbs. So the bitter truth is that the number of disabled people has increased significantly. And right now there is no system in place on how to deal with that and how to reintegrate these people back into society. So, at the beginning of our conversation, I mentioned that I have some exposure to human rights, and also I have a disability myself. So, I'm facing an inaccessible environment every single day and a lot of difficulties of getting around. So, despite my desire to be independent, I still have to ask for help. And sometimes it's not cool just to depend on other people. So what I would like to do is to work on improving architecture accessibility in the city I live in. And I want to provide the people with the possibility just to be able to make any kind of basic operations on their own on a daily basis. And I would like that the people who got back from the war with a disability just to be able to get around easily. So I think that would be a good approach just to let them have the transition back into a civilian life to be as smooth as possible.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for sharing that perspective. I think that's great that you're involved with something like that on a great, I say broad scale. It's a big picture thing, but it's also specifically addresses individual needs that unfortunately are highlighted more by this war is the disabled vets coming back that do need those kind of services. How can people outside of Ukraine best support the Ukrainian people and contribute to efforts to bring about peace and stability? The International Volunteer Center, is geared towards helping the volunteer community, both local and international, connect in a way to help this victory effort for Ukraine. So, from your perspective, how can we best do that?
Yeah. So first of all, by spreading a word, this is the most important thing. So as I mentioned before, the main goal for us is just not to let it slide. Ukraine exists until the international community cares, and this is the truth. As long as people continue speaking about the war, continue supporting us with the donations and the necessary amounts of weapons, we'll still be able to fight. Another great example of support is international volunteers who are coming here in Lviv to the volunteer kitchen. And these are usually people who build successful careers, who could just simply enjoy their lives, but they just left everything, like their jobs, their families, and decided to come here to help. And when I see such kind of things, that just warms my heart so much. For Ukrainians, that feeling that we're not alone is just priceless, and it gives us hope and probably the strength not to give up, just to keep going.
Okay, great. Thank you. I've got a wrap-up question here to this, but before I get to it, I have two questions to ask that are related that I didn't share with you, so I'm going to surprise you there. So.
Okay.
But first one would be, what is your definition of someone who cares about someone else or something or a situation? What does that look like for you when someone says, I care about this or that?
Yeah, I shared some information about this previously about that any kind of methods will work, right? And this kind of support may be just by sharing a small post on social media, in Zarya community, in a foreign community, just to give that perspective to other people, what's going on in Ukraine and what kind of experience we're going through. And another like brave thing is just to come to Ukraine and help here physically. So I understand that not every single person can do that because it's still the country under the war. But informational support, financial support, all of these are highly appreciated from other people.
Awesome, thank you. And then the follow-up question to that would be, do you think God cares about Ukraine?
Sorry, I didn't catch it.
Sure, do you think God cares about Ukraine?
I hope so. I hope so.
Fantastic. And so to kind of wrap this up, then let me ask my favorite two-word question is what else? But to expound on that, is there anything else you'd like to share about your experiences or perspectives on the war in Ukraine with the world, with the people listening, with the volunteer community, local or international? What else would you say?
Mm-hmm, yeah. So I would like to say that despite all this enormous losses, damages, and the pain that every single Ukrainian is going through, so I truly believe that one day our country will become free and independent again, and we will be able finally to go back to normal lives. And I'm not quite sure if we can remember this kind of times, honestly, when we were not hearing air raid sirens, we were not reading the news about another missile that hit a hospital or killed a kid. So it's a terrible thing. But the price of this freedom is really high, and our victory, we should just do our best to rebuild Ukraine in the way we would like it to be, and to turn it to one of the most successful European countries with a strong economics, with strong cultural and national values. And I truly believe that it will happen one day.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. I really appreciate you sharing your insights. And once again, to everyone listening to this, to kind of recap some of your main thoughts there, the price of freedom is high. Come over here and volunteer, whether physically, financially. There's resources in place here to help you navigate the volunteer community here if you're considering coming over. And most importantly, spread the word, social media. Spread stories in support of Ukraine and the Ukrainian people and what they're going through on a daily basis, and encourage that kind of support among your social connections. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate it and enjoy speaking with you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Shannon, for inviting me. And thanks a lot for giving me this opportunity to share my thoughts. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.